like to share with you out of the 50th chapter of Genesis. 50th chapter of Genesis, I'll read verses 15 through 20. Supporting scripture coming from the 37th Psalms, verse 1, and Romans 12 and 19 that you've already heard in your hearing. The book of Genesis, out of the 50th chapter, beginning at verse 15, the Bible reads, "And when Joseph's brethren, saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly require us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive.'" Supporting scripture this morning, 37 Psalms, verse 1 reads, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity." Lastly, Romans 12 and 19. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' said the Lord." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." On the base of those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning. If you look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
it's not me you got to worry about.
It's not me you got to worry about.
It's God."
It's God.
How many of you know God to be a great God in your life this morning? Not because of what the choir said, not because of what I'm saying, but just because you know for yourself that to you, God is great. And not only is he a great God, but he is greatly and worthy to be praised. What do we have to praise the Lord for? Thank you. Say it again. Amen. Everything, good and the bad. Because if you've never gone through any bad, you wouldn't know how to appreciate the good. That's why it means so much to those that have been healed to know what it has been to be on a bed of affliction and to be able to get back up. If you've never been down, you don't know what it is to get back up. But to those of us that have been down and God has blessed you to get back up, you can say from the depths of your soul, God is great and he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. We serve a mighty great God this morning. And I believe that God has been, I know that God has been good to all of us. There's not a person in here this morning that cannot say God has not been good. And it doesn't matter this morning what you have gone through, going through, or might have to go through. God is still God, and he's still in control. He's an all-powerful God, and he's able to do anything that we need him to do. Even those times when you may get fearful, God is able to sort of step in and make everything seemingly be all right. Because we have learned if we trust in the power of God, God continues to make a way. And I wonder this morning how many of us really thought about what a blessing it is just to be able to come back together one more time. Despite what one might be going through, we are above ground and still yet counted amongst the living. And I thank God for loving me enough to wake me up this morning. Loving me enough to allow me another opportunity to just stand and to open up my mouth. I thank God for allowing me to come back to this place one more time. And if it's all right with you, I just kind of want to talk a little bit more about Brother Joseph. See, we done brought him so far and we're almost to the end. Brother Joseph about to die. But we've been walking with him through his life, and God was good to Joseph. And when we look at the life of Joseph, we look at it as in comparison to knowing that the same God that was with Joseph, he is also with us. He knows what you're going through. He knows that there have been some time that you've had to go through hell and high water to get where you are. But how many of you thank God for some of the bad things that you had to go through to get you to the frame of mind where you are right now? There's some folk like to fool themselves and like to fool other folk into thinking that you always had all the answers and everything always fall into place for you. But how many of you want to be real this morning and realize that when the Bible say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, when the Bible say there are none perfect, no, not one, that means you and me. It doesn't matter what position you might hold in the church or in the community. It does not make you better than anybody else. Another thing I found out, that being in position does not exempt you from being caught up in all the many things that's going to go on in everyday living. If you're crazy enough to think because you get up and testify, I'm saved and sanctified, that the enemy is not going to try you. How many of you know that after you made that declaration that God was on your side or you was on God's side, that's when the enemy really got mad. He'll mess with everything that he can mess with to get up under your skin. Whether it's finances, your husband, your wife, your children, your education, whatever you like, the enemy has a way of messing with it. Sometimes he'll twist up your mind into thinking that you're not going to be able to get over what you're going through. But I beg to differ this morning. I believe that we serve a God that if we ask him for something, if he promised that he would give it to us, we just got to learn how to wait on him. No one. Is anybody in here this morning waiting on something that you asked God to do? So what has to happen? You cannot give up on God and you can't give up on yourself. So many times we give up on ourselves because we have the mindset of what we'd like to do, but things just don't fall into place. And sometimes we get sidetracked. Sometimes stumbling blocks get in the way and we can't see the way that we are going because of this big wall that has gotten up in the way. But we got to learn how to ask God, Lord, help me to look through the wall. Or help me to climb the wall. Help me go around the wall. Whatever I need to do to get where you want me to be, Lord, give me the strength. First of all, I got to have a willing spirit. I got to be willing to go. Word of God says, is there anybody that is willing to go? Isaiah says, send me, I'll go. Because he was willing to go and do what the Lord would have him to do. But as we journey back through the pages of history over these last few weeks, it's amazing how we can see ourselves today in the same attitudes and in the same things are plotting against one another as the children of Israel. We read it and we began to think about what a bad thing it is for a brethren to go against their own brothers. But do we not have that same thing going on right here upon the earth today? When we read the pages of history, this is for us to know that these things have already been done, but you serve a God that is able to bring you through. We read here in the life of Joseph that even though he suffered, even though he was mistreated, something down on the inside of Joseph made him a very special individual. It wasn't something that Joseph did for himself. It was what God had implanted in him. When God put the right spirit in you, then you are able to go through some things and handle them in a manner that some folk might not understand. You ever seen folk that you know that have done you wrong or lied on you or did this, that, or the other, and you've been kind and nice to them, and they look at you kind of crazy like, why are you being nice to me?
because they can't understand why it is that I can mistreat you, but yet you can still treat me like somebody. The Bible declared that in the last days, even the love of family will grow cold. Look at our families now. We are chilled off. Most of us don't get along. We go through the motions. We can't get around the fact that we're family. And we use that old term that we have that we say, you can choose, you can't choose your family. Well, no, you can't choose them and you can't get rid of them either. I don't care whether you like them or not. That's your family. We were brought up in a time when family was taught to love one another and to be there for one another. Nowadays, the family seem to be pulling one another apart, and I got to take care of me and mine, and you do the best you can. That's the reality of where we are today, but that is not where we used to be. The love of family has grown cold. Most people seem to be out for themselves and not concerned about the welfare of others. One thing we should know and understand is that when it's all said and done, when we go before the judgment seat of Jesus the Christ, we're going to have to give an account of not how that family, friend, or enemy treated you, but how did you treat them? The Lord ain't going to ask you nothing about what did so-and-so do to you to make you act like you act. You choose to act like you act. You got a choice whether you can act a fool or you can act like somebody with some sense. I don't care what somebody's done to you. You still got a decision that you got to make. You got to learn how to love them despite of. Why do you think that the Bible declared love your enemy? And then we that call ourselves Christian or church folk or whatever we classify ourselves that we have a problem with loving our enemy. Most of us sit around and think, how is it that I can get back at my enemy? Some of us even pray, Lord, I'd be glad when such and such go down. Don't act like it's not real. If you're one of them that made that prayer, then I'm talking to you. If you want to have a one-on-one, then I'm available. Anytime you want to meet. Because we got to understand that God is tired of us just going through the motions. We come in here, act like we come in to have church, and we're in a hurry to go home. Yeah, I said it and I mean it. This time belongs to God. And it's up to us to give God everything that we can to give back to what he's given us. When you think about how good God has been to you, who don't want to give God some praise? When you know that when trouble comes into your life, into your family's life, that you're going to be calling on God, who don't want to call on God? Cloudy on the outside this morning. Many of the folk that love God's sunshine decided they stay home because the sun's not shining. That's the reality of where we are. But when we need something, we are trusting on God to come to our deliverance, to our rescue. When we want something to happen in our life, we pray to the Lord our God. And then we also, we have the mindset is that we don't really want nobody to tell us nothing. But there's going to come a time that we're going to wish that somebody would have took the time out to tell us a few things. If we could learn to treat one another like we want to be treated. The golden rule says in Jesus' words in Matthew 7 and 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So we need to treat others exactly like we want to be treated. Even in that there may be some that it doesn't matter what they may have done to you. Treat them like you want to be treated. Whenever you're able to sort of be able to take some things and be able to go in that situation and know that God is going to see you through. We got to understand that sometimes it's very hard for us to forgive those that have wronged us. But you got to know that even if you got a legitimate reason why you are angry, somewhere, somehow, you got to try to find that space of forgiveness. I know that we are living in a time where we don't really like to forgive. Because what we like to say, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. But now what I found is that if you hadn't forgot or if you can't forget, then you can't completely forgive. Because as long as you're holding on to a little bit of, sometimes it don't take but a little bit. There's some folk that know you well enough that they can punch your buttons just like that. Because they know it don't take but a little bit to stir you up. To get you to get out of your comfort zone. To get you to say what you might not really want to say, but you're going to say it anyhow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know anybody that's able to sort of get under your skin, even though you got the frame of mind that I want to love everybody. I want everything to be good today. I want to have a good day. But look and behold, somebody knocking at the door. When you looked out the window and saw the car, you know that your day just turned upside down. So now you got to work on yourself. Before you get to the door, you got to work on your face. Anybody ever went to the door and looked exactly like you felt? A lot of times, if you look exactly like you feel or say exactly what you mean, you won't have company today. But because God has made us to where we try to be civil and nice to one another. Come on in. Just smile at them anyhow. Keep on smiling. And if you really want to get rid of them, if you know them like they know you, talk about what you know they don't want to talk about. It could be God, it could be money, it could be anything that you know that they don't like to talk about. You start talking about that. Or if they come to gossip and start talking about some stuff, you say, I don't want to hear that. I ain't in that mess there. They immediately shut up and find somebody else. We got to learn how to protect ourselves from the enemy and then learn how to love the enemy anyhow. The enemy is just doing his job. The enemy's job is to go to and fro seeking whom he can devour along the way. And he don't care what family you belong to. He don't care how hard mom and them prayed to keep the family together. The enemy want to tear your families apart. But I'm here to tell you that by the power of God and the grace of Jesus, we can bring our families back together. Anybody want their family to get back together? I wonder, is there anybody in here this morning that has encountered a situation during your life that where you've been wronged by somebody you love or been wronged by a family member? And because of whatever it was that transpired, there's been a wall of distance and time between you and them. You know how sometimes we have a little falling out and you got some people, yeah, I ain't talked to them in 2 years. I ain't talked to them in 3 or 4 years. And a lot of time it's behind something that really didn't make a whole lot of sense. Sometimes you can't even remember why you're supposed to be mad. Been mad so long, you done forgot all about it. But because you hadn't let go, because you hadn't truly forgiven within your heart, you're still holding on to a little animosity. You're still holding on to that fact that if I could just get it off of my chest. Some things you need to get off your chest, but you need to let it go with the Spirit of God. Don't let it go in anger. Don't let it go in a moral, fleshly manner, but talk to the Lord about it and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, help me when I open up my mouth to say things in the right manner, because I learned as a child it's not what I say, but it's how I say it. There are some folk that have wronged you and you have forgiven them, but because of their own guilty conscience, they haven't forgiven themselves and they just can't let it go. Every time they see you, they are reminded of what they've done to you. Even though you are not even thinking about it, even though you done let it go and gone on about your business, live and let live and went on, they still got guilt down on the inside, and that guilt won't give them peace of mind. People walking around with heavy and a whole lot of weight on them because they are carrying around grudges of hurt, and when they've been wronged and they have developed a stony heart and a hard head, and they just cannot think of anything but being vindictive and hurtful. Some of those same folk you deal with every day of your life. But don't let them get the upper hand. You got to understand that even though you may not know it, you are stronger than what you think. Even though you may not realize that you have more love down on the inside that you are aware of, all you got to do is just try Jesus. You got to learn that when somebody does something against you, if you are a child of God, believing in the word of God, let God take care of it. If we trust in the Lord our God, we'll know that everybody that smiles in your face don't necessarily like you. The enemy always got somebody assigned to cause havoc and trouble in your life. And there may be somebody this morning plotting evil against you right now, but as you look at the words here of David, the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall be soon cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." So we don't need to be concerning ourselves with the evildoers or the troublemakers, because in God's own time, despite their temporary prosperity, God is going to cut them down. They may seem like they're up here today and it may give you a little bit of a problem, but don't let that be your problem. If they're up there, to God be the glory. If they didn't get there in the right manner, God will bring them back down. We use the term sometimes, the same one that you passed going up, you're going to pass the same one on your way back down. How many of you know you don't stay on the mountain all the time? You don't stay all up in the air all the time. Every now and again, you got to come down and walk back through the valley. As we look at these words of David, they ought to drive away our anxieties and our envy that we have amongst one another. We ought to be able to tell one another that I know that God will do just what he said that he would do. We ought to know this morning that if we trust the power of a mighty God, that God is able to help us in those situations where we want to do evil for evil. The Bible said through the words of Paul, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." If it is possible, as long as everything that lives within you live peaceably with all men. In other words, try to get along with everybody. There's some folk don't want to get along with nobody. Then there's some folk that try to get along with everybody. The Bible declared, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord." Don't you know the Lord will fight your battles? Don't you know the Lord will do what needs to be done? You got to learn how to let go and let God. You got to know that you can't have a vindictive spirit on the inside and believe that God is going to elevate you to where you ought to be. God is tired of us just acting like we can do things any kind of way. We got to learn when the old saint said, let the Lord fight your battle, that God is still the one in control. I come to tell you this morning that you got to trust the power of God. You can't do evil for evil. But the Bible says, don't let your good overcome your evil. Because anytime you meet evil for evil, the devil is on the loose. And if the devil get on the loose, he might get the upper hand. But I just want to tell you a little bit more about a man. A man that had been mistreated. A man that had been sold into slavery by his own brothers. A man that had been elevated from the pit, from the prison, all the way to the palace. A man that realized that I didn't get here just because of myself, but I got here because of God. I realized that I don't have any hope in my heart, my brothers, because the only reason you did what you did, you didn't know it at the time, but what you meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. And I want to let you know that everything is going to be all right. Anybody in here ever found out that if you trust the power of God, then God will make everything work out all right? I stopped by to tell somebody that I found out about a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was a man that had been criticized and pushed down and even sold into slavery. But he found out one day that it happened because of the power of a mighty God. He heard that somebody said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So he realized that I am where I am because you sold me. You mistreated me, but God turned everything around for my good. But you got to understand when you've done somebody wrong, if you don't know how to forgive them from on the inside, you will carry that grudge around. You will carry that bad conscience around. And every time you see them, you begin to think, what are they going to do to me? The Bible said that he sent and told him to go get my daddy and bring all of your brothers along with you. But the first question he asked is, my daddy still alive? You see, what they realized that we done wrong, my brother. But here my brother is standing in high authority. Got all power. He's second in command. But because he's second in command, he didn't lose what was down on the inside. He didn't get vindictive from his flesh. You see, he could have told them, kill those guys. We're not going to sell them 1 ounce of grain. Because I remember what they did to me when I was a young boy. But the Bible said, he let them know that you are my brethren. And you did what you did because God intervened. And I'm not mad with you. In other words, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to feed you when you get hungry. I'm going to make everything all right. I'm going to give you a little piece of land to live on. And nobody's going to be able to harm you. Oh, during the time of famine, I got food and enough food to give you. That everything is going to be all right. But then one day, he realized that old daddy done died. Now that daddy Jacob is dead, the boys got to get into thinking in their mind, oh Lord, daddy done died now. As long as daddy was alive, he wasn't going to do nothing to us. But now that daddy is gone, I believe he's going to take our lives. I believe he's going to get back for what we did to him a long time ago. The Bible said, when Joseph's brothers saw him, that their father was dead. Joseph said, pre-adventure, they're going to hurt me. He sent a messenger to Joseph. Said that the father said, do them no harm. You know how it is when you're afraid. You will come up with some stuff. You will concoct some stuff. You will begin to put some things together. You will say, he say, she say. Daddy said, don't you do no harm. Because you got to do what daddy say do. So the Bible said, as Joseph listened to the story, he began to weep. Don't you know sometimes when your brothers, even your brothers, say the wrong thing in the sight of God, it'll prick you right down to your heart. Tears start streaming down Joseph's face. But Joseph reminded them and say, don't you know that you are my brother? You don't have to bow down to me because I'm going to treat you like somebody. He said, I want to let you know that what you thought for evil, God turned it around for good. What you thought was going to mess me up, that's what actually saved our life. So I'm not upset with you. I'm going to keep on doing what I've been doing. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide for your family because I got forgiveness in my heart. I learned that when God let me know that it wasn't because of you, but it was because of him looking down on my life, looking down on the children of Israel, holding on to the promise. We will not be able to get the promised land unless I had went into slavery. But I didn't stay in slavery long. God elevated me, put me in a position where now I can help my family. And now the family is not going to die because somebody trusted the power of God. Somebody realized that it's all about God. So my brethren, I don't care how afraid you are. It ain't me you got to worry about. It's God. Why you asking me what I'm going to do? Am I God? I'm just Joseph. I'm just your brother. But the one that you mistreated was God himself. And when God steps in and make everything all right, there's no excuses. There's no more lying. Nobody to hide behind. Nobody to point the finger at. It's going to be you and God. And that's what Joseph was saying. I forgave you a long time ago. If, out of all that you've done to me, if I can give you somewhere to lay your head and feed you when you get hungry, brother, I'm not mad at you no more. You got to get over it. But now you're going to have to answer to God. You got to answer to God. What you meant for my evil, my God turned it around for my good. And because he turned it around, all of our family is going to be able to live now. Now the Bible says, hallelujah, Jesus, that Joseph lived to be 110 years old. But he still didn't live as long as his daddy. You don't know how long you're going to be upon this earth. But when we look at these different things that we've seen in the life of Joseph, one that we know because we read it in the book, that had been mistreated, had been wronged by his very own family, but was able to sort of dismiss that and let it go because he had an understanding. He realized that when the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding, but lean to the understanding of God, he realized that this is the reason why they had to do what they had to do so that I would be put in a position to where when things got hard, everything for my family is going to be all right. Some of you in here this morning has been put in a position to be a help to other family members to keep the family going, keep the family together. To keep the family knowing that there is somebody that you can always go to. God always gonna bless somebody in the midst of your life, whether it's family, friend, and it might even be an enemy. Because when God touched the heart of an enemy and then they turn their way of thinking around, that enemy might be the very one to come to your rescue. 3 years ago, I couldn't stand you, but the Lord that I serve, he touched my heart and he done changed some things. So now, my brother, I love you. Whatever I can do for you, I'm here for you. That's what Joseph said. We're forgetting our yesterdays. I know what you've done was wrong, but try to the best of your ability to accept that I forgave you. Can you forgive one another this morning? Can you forgive the hurt, the lies, the mistreatment? If you can't, you're in the right place this morning. because it gives all of us another opportunity to just get a little closer, to try a little harder, and to pray a little harder for God's will to be done. It's not the person sitting beside you that you're going to have to worry about. It's going to be God. Not even the one that you've wronged. That's not who you got to worry about. It's going to be God. For the Bible declares, vengeance is mine, so said the Lord.